For me to live is Christ. For me to die is gain. Every moment in between, there'll be joy and there'll be pain. I can't worry about the future or change a thing about my past. I've got this moment to believe, and I'm gonna make it last. I am filled to be emptied.
This is Pastor Michael Rogers from The Jar at 702 H Street Northeast in Ardmore, Oklahoma. Thank you for listening to our broadcast today.
We were blessed this week to have family pastor Carrie Nault share the message today. We hope you enjoy what she has to say about what it means to struggle for freedom.
It is awesome to know that God is the same. From the beginning of time until now, He is the same. And we know that He's never going to change. And that's a mighty, mighty thing to have comfort in. Go ahead and get my Bible turned up. I'll tell you, my Bible automatically opens up to Exodus anymore because we are spending a good amount of time in Exodus. I hope you enjoyed the movie last week, Prince of Egypt. Kind of got a condensed version of everything we're learning over the next few weeks, possible months as we go through. Moses had a lot going on and all. Before I begin tonight, I want to share with some of you have probably heard this little poem or story. I'm just going to condense it. I'm not going to say the whole thing. Or, have you heard footprints in the sand? Okay. We all know that little cliche poem story. We've heard it in different variations where the man's walking down the sand of the beach and he's walking with Jesus. Yeah, I can't imagine that one. And he looks back and he says, oh, look where we've come. And he goes, look everything you've been through. You know, Jesus tells him, look at everything. He goes, yeah, all the footprints. I see, you're right beside me. But I've noticed a few times there was only my footprints up here. The man thinks it's his footprints, you know, ha ha. And he says, why did you leave me? And Jesus, I could just imagine his laughter. Dude, I did not leave you. I'm never going to leave you or forsake you. That's when I carried you. It's when you had a really rough time. Maybe when your faith needed to be a little bit stronger, so I grew up and I carried you. And we've got often have to think about those times. God never leaves us. He never forgets what His promises are to us. He never forgot His promises to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to Moses, to Mary, to Ruth, to Esther, never, ever, ever failed His promises. So I just want you to kind of keep that in that brain, but don't harvest on it. Don't let it just manifest into your thoughts right now. But kind of keep that story into your thoughts as I speak tonight. We're going to continue in the book of Exodus, and we're going to still see that God is present completely through every circumstance. Okay? And sometimes the people don't see this because He's at work and He's busy, but we don't give Him enough credit to say He's working. Okay, we might get a little frustrated. Last week, Michael and Carrie shared with us that Moses had returned to Egypt and he performed the miracles to the people. And that was at the very end of Exodus chapter 4, verses 29 through 31. I'm just going to reread those for you. Moses and Aaron brought together all of the elders of the Israelites. And Aaron told them everything the Lord said to Moses. He also performed the signs before the people, and they believed. And when they heard that the Lord was concerned about them and had seen their misery, they bowed down and worshiped. They finally had realized, man, God is hearing us. They realized that God was indeed hearing their cries for help. And then they bowed down and worshiped Him. Well, this evening, as we continue, we're starting in Exodus 5, and you can turn there now. in your Bibles or in your Bible app. And let me share a few thoughts with you about Pharaoh. Now, we saw in the movie last week how Pharaoh was portrayed. But Pharaoh thought of himself as a god, little g, a god. Nobody's better than him. And nobody was higher than him. He just thought, as you know, that 1980s term, the bomb diggity. He thought, I am the bomb diggity. Nobody can be higher than me. And Moses knew this growing up with him. And growing up in the Egyptian courts, he knew that Pharaoh thought of himself as it. He knew the type of person Pharaoh was, that arrogant, demanding, narcissistic, self-centered, stubborn kind of person. You get that picture. But Moses also understood this, that Pharaoh is just another man that God created. Okay? He knew that Pharaoh wasn't God, and he knew he was just another man. Okay. Now, Pharaoh, thinking of himself more highly than anybody else in authority, is not something new from God either. You know, the first time was back when Adam and Eve were in the garden. Satan wiggled his way up in there and tried to get to them, and then eventually did with, let's eat the apple. Hey, you'll be as powerful. You'll see everything as God sees it. Okay. Satan appeared and thought that he was higher than God. So this is not something new to God, of course, for somebody to get that free will and to think of themselves more highly than he is. Men and women have often tried to be that higher than God. You've heard the phrase plain God. You know, sometimes more so, hate to say it, in the medical field, we hear that term quite a bit. Quit playing God. Okay? It happens from the beginning of time. It isn't anything new to God. But God knew that he needed someone closer to the people on earth. So he prepared Moses and Aaron as the messengers. Okay? They were telling Pharaoh God's demand to let my people go. And in chapter 5, verse 1, and this is a phrase, it's repeated through Exodus. It is repeated through Exodus 10 times to let his people go. This is what the Lord God of Israel says. Let my people go so that they may hold a festival to me in the wilderness. That's the very first. Let my people go. He wasn't asking for them to be completely free. It was just let them go worship right now. Now, Pharaoh probably thought that Moses and Aaron were just bored individuals trying to stir up problems, coming to him and asking, let my people go. And again, Pharaoh says, I am their God. They don't need to go anywhere. I'm not sure who you think your God is that they need to leave. I'm in authority. I'm the Most High. Well, verse 2 gives us clarity that Pharaoh really doesn't understand who God was or is. Okay? Verse 2, who is the Lord that I should obey him and let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, and I will not let Israel go. He's clearly stating it. Now, Pharaoh had many gods that he worshipped as well. But he was also now here expressing his stubbornness and saying, nobody's going to be higher than me. Nobody's going to go and worship anybody else. I know what's best for these people, even though they don't like me, and etc. He said, nope. I've got some really good hands working here too. They're doing some good work for me. I can treat them poorly. They're cheap labor. I'm not going to let them go. Now, recall back in chapter 3, chapter 3, verse 18 and 19. Okay, I'm just going to read those to you. Okay, the elders of Israel will listen to you. Then you and the elders are to go to the king of Egypt and say to him,
The Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has met with us. Let us take a 3-day journey into the wilderness to offer sacrifices to the Lord, our God. But I know the king of Egypt will not let you go unless you use a mighty hand to compel him. Okay? You heard that verse back in chapter 3. Now, in chapter 5, God already knew this was going to happen. He was trying to prepare Moses and Aaron for this. He knew, hey, he knows everything. But in chapter 5, verses 3 and 4, then they said, the God of the Hebrews has met with us. Now let us go and take a 3-day journey into the wilderness to offer sacrifices to the Lord our God. Now listen to this. Or he may strike us with plagues or with the sword. Now that was not mentioned in chapter 3. That wasn't mentioned in chapter 3. I think Moses may have gotten to that point to say, well, let me kind of press upon to Pharaoh that God's going to get us if you don't let us go do this. He was trying to make it that urgency. Because it wasn't mentioned back in chapter 3. God didn't say, well, I'm going to take a sword and plagues after you. No, just listen. Okay, so let's keep moving forward. I usually don't read every verse in this link from 4 to 23, but I want you to hear these words and follow along. Try to picture in your mind the things that are going on with these verses. Visualize this, okay? So picking up in chapter 5, verses 4 through 23, and I'll try not to read too fast because I want you to reverence God's word, but I want you to hear these as well. But the king of Egypt said, Moses and Aaron, why are you taking the people away from their labor? Get back to work. Then Pharaoh said, look, the people of the land are now numerous, and you are stopping them from working. That same day, Pharaoh gave this order to the slave drivers and overseers in charge of the people. You are no longer to supply the people with straw for making bricks. Let them go and gather their own straw, but require them to make the same number of bricks as you do before. Don't reduce the quota. They are lazy. That is why they are crying out, let us go and sacrifice to our God. Make the work harder for these people so that they may keep working and pay no attention to their lies. Then the slave drivers and the overseers went out and said to the people, this is what Pharaoh says. I will give you no more straw. Go and get your own straw wherever you can find it, but your work will not be reduced at all. So the people scattered all over Egypt to gather stubble for the use of straw. The slave drivers kept pressing them, saying, complete your work required of you for each day as you, when you were given straw. And Pharaoh's slave drivers beat the Israelite overseers they had appointed, demanding, why haven't you met your quota of bricks yesterday or today as before? Then the Israelite overseers went and appealed to Pharaoh. Why have you treated your servants this way? Your servants are given no straw, yet we're told, make bricks. Your servants are being beaten, but the fault is nothing but your own. Pharaoh said, lazy. That's what you are. You're lazy. That's why you keep saying, let us go and sacrifice to the Lord. Now get to work. You will not be given any straw, yet you must produce your full quota of bricks. The Israelite overseers realized they were in trouble. And then they were told, you are not to reduce the number of bricks required for you each day. When they left Pharaoh, they found Moses and Aaron waiting to meet them. And they said, now listen to this, may the Lord look on you and judge you. You have made us obnoxious to Pharaoh and his officials and have put a sword in their hand to kill us. Moses returned to the Lord and said, why, Lord? Why have you brought trouble on this people? Is this why you sent me here? Ever since I went to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has brought trouble on this people. And you have not rescued your people at all. Now you can imagine the increasing burdens that Pharaoh had put upon the people. Taking the supply of straw away from them for making bricks, which is a very important ingredient for making the bricks, but making them go gather their own straw, not decreasing their demand, nor lowering their quota, but stating they had to do the same amount of work despite not having that straw. The slave drivers or the foreman, okay? Did you realize, did you hear that? The foreman, the overseers, they're Israelites. They were Jews. Okay, they told the people about this demand. The slave drivers beat the foreman or the overseers and wanted to know, why isn't your quota met? Now, it doesn't take a rocket science to realize why the quota wasn't met. And Pharaoh knew good and well that they weren't going to be able to meet their quota every day. He knew that. He was just going to make it more and more difficult for them. He didn't care. He probably took delight in seeing them punished. Remember, he didn't like them. They wanted to worship God, and he didn't want anybody above him. Now, listen to verse 22 and 23. This is the meat of everything. Moses returned to the Lord and said, "Why, Lord? Why have you brought trouble on this people? Is this why you sent me? Every since I went to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has brought trouble on this people, and you have not rescued your people at all." Moses was questioning God. Why? Why are you doing this? Moses had reached a crisis point. He had reached that level of not understanding what exactly God had planned. Though he trusted God, he wasn't seeing things go the way that he thought they would go. Hey, I'm going to go. I'm going to perform these miracles in front of Pharaoh. And Pharaoh's going to say, "Okay, go. I believe, man, you must have some mighty God here. Go." It didn't happen that way. And even though God told Moses, "It's not going to be easy. I've got to prepare you for this." He was questioning God's decision for him to approach Pharaoh. And realized Pharaoh could have struck Moses dead like that. But he didn't. Moses trusted, but yet had still reached that crisis point. Do I believe fully, truly what God has said and what God is going to do for these people? Have you ever reached that point in your own life? For those of you who are believers, think back about the time that you accepted Christ. You felt like you were on top of the world, man. I can conquer anything. God is with me. Everything is possible. We hear that verse. All things are possible with God. Oh, man, I can do everything. Everything. Everything's going to be on track. Nothing's going to go wrong. I have God on my side. What can I not achieve? Kind of a little arrogancy, man. We're strutting around going, "I'm a Christian. That's right, I'm a Christian. God's with me. I can do it. I can do everything." But then something happens in your life. A crisis. Maybe you lose a loved one. Maybe you lose a job. Maybe just something happens. And there's that big bump in the road. And we find ourselves asking, "God, where are you?" Or is that just me? Do I just do that? I've known other people to ask that same question. Moses was asking too, and he's just saying, "God, where are you in all of this?" When we find ourselves asking this question, maybe then we look forward to coming to worship service, thinking maybe God's going to show up and show out. Maybe he's going to walk through the door and say, "Ta-da, here I am. It's all good." Okay, we expect that, don't we? I've expected it. But we come in to worship service and we expect God to show up and show out immediately. Because we're an impatient people, right? But for those who are not yet believers, I don't want you to think of these words as negative, okay? Because let me say this very clearly. God is good. He is good all the time.
and all the time, God is good. Some of you know that from that movie. But God is good, period, exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point. When we have doubts and when we have wonders of where God is, we must, with a capital M-U-S-T, underlined, we must remember He is right here with us. And for that matter, He may be carrying us, just like footprints. He's not going to leave us. He is not going to forget about us. And He didn't forget about Moses. He doesn't forget about us. He did not forget about Aaron. He did not forget about the Israelites. It was in His time. I was reminded of a song that was a few years back that we're going to listen to during reflection time, but we're not there yet. Still a few more pages to go. But it's called Thy Will Be Done by Hillary Scott. And this one verse may be how we're feeling at times. I know you're good, but this don't feel good right now. And I know you think of things I could never think about. It's hard to count all the joy. Distracted by the noise. Just trying to make sense of all your promises. Sometimes I gotta stop and remember that you're God and I'm not. Now, when she wrote that song, she was going through a lot in her own life. And there are times when we want to play God and make things happen now. We want to see the results now. But they're in God's time. There are going to be times in our life that we're going to question things of why things are not happening the way that we expect them. And that's where our faith comes into play. So let's listen to what is said in the New Testament. We always have to remember this is the Old Testament, but let's bring it to the more modern portion of the New Testament. If you can or will, turn to James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. Listen to these. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. We already know we're going to face some trials and tribulations, but you got to persevere. You got to keep moving forward. Keep pressing on. Now flip back a few pages. Hebrews 12, verses 5 through 11. Listen to this. And have you completely forgotten this word of encouragement that addresses you as a father addresses the son? It says, my son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you. Because the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as his son. Endure hardships as discipline. God is treating you as his children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are not legitimate, not true sons and daughters at all. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us and respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of spirits and live? They disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good in order that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. I think if anything our young people can hear right now tonight during this message, that discipline is necessary. You might not like that at times. I see a few heads still shaking. No, it's really not.
it's not right. It's not the good thing. But discipline is necessary. And as adults, discipline is necessary for us too. Because sometimes then we end up being like Pharaoh. Nobody's better than me. Nobody can tell me what to do. So we have to be knocked down a few notches, don't we? Get our toes stepped on. Get our knees knocked out from underneath us. These words tell us that we're going to have to do some work and we're going to have to keep moving forward, even when it's difficult. And even when you want to shout at the top of your lungs, "Uncle, I give up. I'm done." That's when God really likes it. You ever realize that? When you step back and say, "Okay, God, I'm done. It's fine. Do your will." And he's like, "Yes, finally, you got it through your thick head. It's my decision, not yours." Even when we as believers are sharing God's good news with others, we may not see the fruit with those that we share. We may get discouraged and say, "Hey, God, look, I'm doing everything I'm supposed to be doing. I am reading your word. I'm worshiping. I'm walking with you. I'm leading Bible study. Oh, I helped at VBS." We do all of those things. "But Lord, I don't see any good fruit coming from this. What's wrong? Do you not love me? You don't think I'm good enough?" He's saying, "No, you're good enough. But it's not for you to see it. But you've done my work." We have to persevere. We have to keep moving on. Just as Moses and Aaron had to keep moving on, as you will see in the coming weeks. Okay? We have to keep moving on. And never, ever, ever forget that God is with us all the time. He's not leaving us. He's carrying us through these difficult times. When our world crashes down around us, we need to remember that we're going to have some struggles. And those struggles are times for us to learn things. Do you cry out to God on a daily basis when things are going good? Do you cry out to God when things are really going bad? Or maybe you're not quite understanding things. I'll admit I did that today. I was driving around. I just cried out and I said, I had tears and I just said, "God, I don't understand this. I don't get it. And I haven't gotten it for a long time." I said, "Okay, I know I need to be quiet and listen to your answers back. I don't think I've been quiet enough, but I'll get it." But we cry out when things are the worst. When is the last time, this just popped into my head. When is the last time we cried out and shouted hallelujah just because we woke up? When's the last time we cried out and shouted hallelujah when our bills were paid or we had air conditioning? Sometimes we forget the good things that are going on and give a shout out to God. But man, when the struggles happen, that's when we really shout out to God. That's what Moses was doing here. "Where are you, God? You're supposed to be showing up and showing out right now." He was waiting for that ta-da moment. And it wasn't happening. And he was frustrated. But he knew also, I think on some level, Moses knew that Pharaoh was just going to be stubborn. He had that free will. But so many people think that they can really live up to that expectation, that free will. "I can choose." I better get back to my notes or we're going to be here all night. Preach. Preach. You know, people do have free will and they can choose not to accept Christ. We know that. But when their soul is still searching out for answers, I like to visualize that you've planted that seed and that those souls are still searching out answers. That soil is still loose around that seed. That ground hasn't gotten hard yet. And that's all that God needs. He just needs to work that soil. And it's not going to go in vain. Moses and Aaron may have felt that their work going to Pharaoh was in vain and questioning God.
But their faith remained. And the outcome of all of this, well, it's pretty amazing. You're going to actually see it and hear it over the next few weeks. But here's the awesome thing. We have the New Testament to prove that things went good. We still have God's word. I love that. I love the fact that we still have the New Testament and go, oh, there was hope. There was hope and there was faith. During our reflection time, I've asked that we listen to Hillary Scott's full song, Thy Will Be Done. And I hope that this becomes your daily prayer. Thy will be done, not my will. Lord, we want your will to be done. You know, he's the one that created everything. It was his will. So whatever Pharaoh maybe you're up against, and we say Goliath sometimes, but sometimes we're up against Pharaohs who are stubborn and think of themselves more highly. Maybe you're battling that with someone right now who's just not hearing how good God is. Or maybe you know someone who is stuck in that thought of God really isn't for me. You know, he doesn't really care about me. And they need to see some proof. Well, they can see that proof through your own witness, your own testimony. God has gotten us through so much in life. If you just look back on every day. I look back, I know some of you may have seen it on Facebook today. Today is 50 years ago today that I had open heart surgery at the age of 6. And I look back on that and go, God got me through that. Later on in life, when I turned about 35, the doctors told me, good luck if you're even walking by the time you're 45. I surpassed that. God is good. He got me through it. Now, there's some days I don't think I can walk real well, but hey, I'm still upright and moving, and the mouth is still going. Praise the Lord. Now, some of y'all might say, Lord, give her laryngitis. He's done that twice over the past year. It can happen. Your prayer can be answered. No, I'm teasing you. I'd still be shouting out his praises. I'm trying to get into the habit myself, like I said, of getting up first thing in the morning. And I usually do say, thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for giving me a good night's rest. But not just saying it, but believing it. And shouting it and let others see it. Man, I'm so glad God woke me up this morning. I am blessed. We're all blessed. We fail to see it sometimes. But don't let a Pharaoh stand in your way. Let God's will be done.
Thanks for listening to this episode of The Jar with Pastors Michael and Carrie Rogers. If you're a believer in Christ looking for an opportunity to learn how to be a disciple maker, come see us at 702 H Street Northeast in Ardmore, Oklahoma. Our regular gatherings start on Sundays at 4 p.m., so you can still make it to see us today. Hope to see you soon.
I am filled to be empty.